Today on Real Radio.
What was so convincing about a man getting spit out of the mouth of a fish and preaching a fire and brimstone message? The answer was, he was a man spit out of the mouth of a fish. They worshiped as one of their Babylonian gods, Dagon. Will you please write this down and research it?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. We're looking at chapter 17, the passage that speaks of the great harlot of Babylon. If you've been following along in this series, you know that Pastor Jack takes a position that is not very popular with certain individuals, but quite verifiable and demonstrated by means of archaeology, art, documents, architecture, and a lot more. Let's continue now with this fascinating study series called Identifying the Road to Babylon. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Nineveh, Babylon. There was a prophet that was sent there by God. What was his name?
Jonah.
Was Jonah swallowed by a whale or a fish? Good. Fish. Why a fish? How do we know it wasn't a whale? We know for sure because, first of all, the Bible says it was a great fish. How is it that Jonah shows up in Nineveh and says, 40 days and Nineveh perishes? Man, he didn't say, hey, can you guys play the band and let's have an altar call and why don't you come forward? We'll give you a brand new Bible. He didn't do any of that. 40 days and you eat it. That was his message. An estimated 3 million people, the largest salvation message in human history, get saved. They bow down and worship the God of heaven. What was so convincing about a man getting spit out of the mouth of a fish and preaching a fire and brimstone message? The answer was, he was a man spit out of the mouth of a fish. They worshiped as one of their Babylonian gods, Dagon. Will you please write this down and research it? Don't write me later and tell me you can't find this. You're just lazy. You got to research this and find it. He's in the Old Testament and he's throughout human history. D-A-G-O-N, Dagon. Dagon is an ancient Babylonian god. And guess what? He was the god of the fish. The Ninevites worshiped the god of the fish, Dagon. All of his priests, they wore a long robe that when he moved, all you could see was his feet. He was ensconced in a robe, long, long robe that followed his procession. And it was sometimes scarlet and it was sometimes green, beautiful green, I might add, if you like green. Hey, anyway. And he had a hat. Because the priest, to lead people into the worship of Dagon, the priest had to assume as a representative of Dagon the form of a fish. Is everybody with me? Hey, look around. Is anybody sleeping? Just give them a little nudge. This is important because they're going to wake up and say, what'd he say? That's crazy. He had a long robe that predates any church that you might be thinking about. And when he walked, you just saw his feet because he was ensconced in a robe and he had this hat on. And the hat looked like a point when you're coming straight at you. But when he turned sideways, it's a fish mouth. That hat is still in use today. It's the ancient Babylonian outfit of the priest of Dagon. Does John Paul know that? John Paul's brilliant. I don't know if he knows it or not. But ladies and gentlemen, why in the world would somebody wear a hat like that? Well, maybe they like it. Okay, then why in the world can it be found in antiquity before there was ever a Roman Catholic Church? It was adopted. You need to ask this question and answer it yourself. Where was it taken in from? It will send a chill up your spine. Her wealth will be elevated. It will elevate her status as well, verse 4. We know that. She is called a spiritual harlot, a great harlot. Verse 4 at the end, where again we get the word porneia. She has the filth of her fornication and abomination. She's unholy, verse 2. She is not dedicated to the Lord. She's dedicated to the kings and the political powers of the earth. She courts them. Number 5, she's indulgent. She is the mystery. She's veiled. For what reason? It says in verse 5 that she's the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. What happened is that the unholy marriage between the Babylonian worship system of ancient Babylon married into the church in the 100s, 200s, 300s AD. And you've got now the Roman Empire operating in the drapings and the cloakings of what they determined to be called the church. And Constantine, in the early 300s AD, Pontifex Maximus Constantine, Emperor Constantine, declared Christianity exempt from persecution. And he declared a marriage between the church and state of Rome, and the Holy Roman Church was born. This is not hard to find. And guess what happened from that moment on? The church got big, it got fat, it got lazy, it got political. And by the way, to the shock of many of you, you will hear us say, sign petition thus and so, won't you? You will go to our website where you can register to vote, can't you? You will hear us say that we encourage you to search out this bill and understand that proposition. You hear that, don't you? But let me tell you something. I believe strongly that there should be, rightly, the separation of church and state. The state should never be able to dictate. The state should never be able to dictate to the church what it will and will not do. In Constantine's day, Satan knew the genius of that and welded the two of them together, and the state dictated what the church should do. And what happened was the state was corrupt from the core in Babylonianism. That's why you had emperor worship. And they took emperor worship with all the funny hats and all the robes and all of the 40 days of Lent and all of the Fat Tuesday stuff and all of that stuff that happened. They incorporated that into the Christian church, and that's when it happened. This is world history. It's tragic. Whenever politics and Christianity get together and they coincide peacefully, someone's going to lose. And historically, Christianity has never won when it comes to politics. It never will. Well, I shouldn't say it never will. It will when our monarch comes back. See, I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or who are the people that can't make up their mind about anything? Libertarians. I don't care what you are. If you're a Christian, you're a monarchist. Did you know that? If you're a Christian, you're a monarchist. We believe in King Jesus. And listen, it won't be right till he comes back. Should we vote rightly? Should we pray rightly? Absolutely. Should we get involved? You betcha. Just remember this. We will not create heaven on earth. But better to vote wisely than to not vote at all and not participate in the freedoms wherewith God has given us. And then we saw that she's given to persecutions. Identifying the road to Babylon, verses 6 and 7, she is drunk with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus and of the Christians, of the saints. My friend, listen, again, answer this question. I'm not going to give you the answer. Answer this question yourself. Throughout all of human history, what looked religious that duped John, verse 18 of chapter 17, verse 18 of chapter 17, duped John into thinking wild, marvelous, how could this be thoughts? What in history, in the name of God, has killed more Bible-believing Christians on this planet? Search it out and see. It's not Islam. It's not even communism. Study the Inquisitions. You should have already learned that in junior high or high school anyway. The worst atrocities ever perpetrated upon planet Earth, the Inquisitions. You look at wonderful men of God like John Knox and Wycliffe, and one who escaped fairly untouched was, remember John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress? Look at history. You know what they wanted? Like Luther, they wanted the Bible into the hands of people. They wanted you to read the Bible yourself. They were killed for that. They were labeled heretics, and they were burned at the stake. My friend, write it down, go search it out and become an expert on it. Who are the Huguenots? Find out who they were, and find out why 200,000 of them were burned to death or killed. Find out everything you can about Pope Innocent and what he did. Go to Encyclopedia Britannica. Study. It's shocking. And so John was shocked. My friend, we're talking about a system that is, according to the Bible, not only in existence, and it has been alive in its religious sense, but it's going to be revived shortly in its political sense, and as we speak, is being revived. I believe as we live in the 21st century, God has always had his timeline, my friend. For example, everybody sat up and took notice all of a sudden, and it shut the mouths of the German School of Higher Criticism. When on May 14th, 1948, against what many brilliant Christian scholars said would never happen, Israel became a nation in one day. No other nation in all of human history has become a nation a second time but Israel. And God said, shall a nation become a nation again in one day? He answers the question, and he did that. May 14th, go research it. May 14th, 1948. Why do I bring this up? Because, my friend, along the timeline of God, where are you and I? Where are we? You see, God has his timeline. He has not forgotten us. My mind's a blur. What is today? Is today the 13th? Yes. February 13th, 2005. This day will never be again in all of history. Did God know this day was coming? Yes. Yeah. According to what you know of God from the Bible, did God know that you were going to be here today? Yep, he knows everything. By the way, according to the doctrine of God, it's called the decree, D-E-C, not degree, D-E-C, D-E-C-R-E-E, the decree of God, his nature. Did you know that God knows all things actual and all things possible? In other words, if you would have decided to stay home today, God knows what would have happened if you decided to stay home, even though it will never become a reality in your world. That is spooky knowledge. Oh, yeah, well, okay, now wait a minute. What, if I turn right, God knows what would happen if I would have turned left? Yeah. Well, then why didn't have me turn left? Because apparently it was better for you to turn right. He knows things actual and things possible. He knows the what could have been. Isn't that amazing, the power of God? Well, regarding the timeline, here we are in the 21st century. The events that John speaks about, he's warned about his present day. There's going to be kings that will fall, nations that will fall. There will be kings that will arise. There will be specifically one king that will arise, and that's the one that John's concerned about. He talks about how many horns, my friends. How many horns are mentioned here? 10 horns. 10 horns. The book of Daniel mentions over and over again that in the last days there will be 10 horns. Jot it down. Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. 10 horns are 10 kings which shall arise from this kingdom. 10 kings are going to arise. Revelation 17, 12 says, 10 horns which you saw, or 10 kings. They're 10 kings. Don't be confused. Everybody, are you with me? We're almost done. 10 horns equal 10 kings. The 10 kings in Revelation 17 are promised a kingdom. They act as kings for just a little time, it says. Now look to the screen. Follow with me if you would. By the way, this is from a secular website. Jot it down. You can look it up yourself. WEU. There is the European Union. Type it in. Look, I don't know what the problem is. Some of you guys, and I'm not familiar with Google. Yahoo as a search engine for your computer. I don't have Yahoo. I don't use, it is Yahoo, right? Or Wahoo? Yahoo. I don't use, for some reason, you get a lot more stuff out of Google. If I was a betting man, I would bet on Google. Now, I use Google. If you go to Google and type in EU, just type in EU and hit return. You better put your seatbelt on. Because if you open up to Daniel chapter, listen to Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 11, Revelation 13, Revelation 17, type in EU in your search engine under Google, you're going to be there for a month. One of the things that will come up will be a link to the WEU. That's the Western European Union. Did you know that? Did you know it even existed? A lot of people don't. A lot of people in Europe don't know it exists. There is the European Union that is currently a membership of about 25 nations currently. It is called the EU, and you better pay close attention to it because it will have your attention soon if you like it or not. The EU has formed a governing power, just like the world today has the G7 or the G8. The G8 included Russia, just to make them feel good. Did you know that? The G7 are the world powers. They make the policies of the world. They manage the markets of the world. It's the seven wealthiest nations in the world. Are you with me? By the way, California would have been the eighth if it were a nation. Isn't that interesting? I don't know if that's still true. On the screen, what do you see? This is from the European website, European Union, official government website. This is not a Christian website. 10 member states. Do you see that at the top? The 10 members. These are the 10 policymakers of the European Union. You see, my friend, when the Bible says 10 kings will arise, there's 12, then there's 15 nations, the Bible, now there's 25, don't worry about it. There's 10 policy-making powers of the European Union, 10 of them. 10 kings will arise out of what once was based in what city on seven hills? Rome, the Roman Empire. Daniel tells us the Roman Empire will come back to life in the last days. All these nations listed, next slide, all these nations listed are of the ancient Roman Empire without exception. The truth of the matter is, now they have 10 that will govern the politics and powers. In fact, out of that 10, by the way, they are appointing, probably within the next few weeks, a defense minister. And his name is Schneider. I forget his first name. He is the top running leader to command the EU forces, and he's the chief general in Germany. Next slide. Yeah. I got this out of the news this week. European leaders sign EU constitution where? No, you guys sounded weak. Do you believe that? Go look it up. Type in European Constitution. Hit return on your computer. It's going to take you to this article. This is from the paper. European leaders sign EU Constitution in Rome. Roma, Italy. That's how they say it. Roma. European leaders on Friday signed the EU's first constitution, a diplomatic triumph they hope will give the union a sharper international profile and speed up decision-making in a club now embracing 25 nations. Silvio Berlusconi, whatever his name is, the Italian premier, said in a speech earlier, listen, Never in history have we seen an example of nations voluntarily, that's willfully, deciding to exercise their sovereign powers jointly in the exclusive interest of their nations or their peoples, thus overcoming age-old impulses of rivalry and distrust by becoming what?
One.
The first 3.5 years of the tribulation period that is coming will come out of, according to the book of Daniel, 3,000 years ago, a unified ancient European Roman Empire. Next slide. I think we have more slides. No? No, we don't. We have some verses. For speed's sake, jot these down quickly. I'm going to just quote them, and they'll flash them up on the screen if they've got them there. Revelation 13:1 warns us that in the last days, these 10 horns, these 10 kings will arise. That's Revelation 13:1. Revelation 17:3-4 tells us it's 10 kings. Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, tells us that there's going to be a king that arises out of the 10 horns. A specific king. Revelation 17:12-13 tells us the 10 horns which you saw are, in fact, 10 kings, and they will give their authority to the beast, its chief ruler. In Daniel chapter 9, verses 24-27, we're almost done. Daniel 9, 24-27 tells us of a coming time that's yet future, where a man will arise out of the revised Roman Empire, the resurrected Roman Empire, and he will, listen, you can read it there, Daniel 9, 24-27, in the middle of a seven-year peace agreement, he's going to break the contract. Listen, there's going to be a peacemaker coming out of Europe who's going to get together and make a peace treaty. I'm going to give you one guess as to who Daniel says the peace treaty is with. What nation on earth is it with? Did you hear that, everybody? 3,000 years ago, it says that this man will arise and make a peace treaty with Israel and its neighbors.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study series called Identifying the Road to Babylon, taken from Revelation 17. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more on this fascinating topic. And then on Thursday and Friday, we'll do something a little different. Since Christmas is just around the corner, and because a growing number of people claim to be offended by calling it Christmas, well, we're going to be stepping away from our current topic and bring to you a presentation called Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus. Pastor Jack just presented this from the pulpit earlier this month. He addresses all the political correctness going on in the circles that are trying to get Christ out of Christmas. Instead of Merry Christmas, it's Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings or some such. But Christians should have the right to publicly proclaim, "Born is the King of Israel," and "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." Where are we headed on this issue? Find out. Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus. 2 special broadcasts of Real Radio this coming Thursday and Friday. Also, as we approach Christmas, many of our schedules temporarily change. So, we've made a way for you to hear the entire message online. You can even watch it if you prefer. Remember our website, www.realradioactive.org. In fact, that's where you'll be able to hear all 4 parts of this series uncut. Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus by pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. To find out more, call us at 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you a Merry Christmas, as well as solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine
amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.